beautiful shore.
And the sweet by and by. Thank you for that number. There was a great, great song for the lesson to keep us reminded of where we're going. Because when you're on the road and you're driving far, you need that sign that tells you how much long you got to go. Imagine if that sign wasn't there. And you wouldn't know till you got there. That'd be messed up. Because I've been driving for a long time. I need some kind of indication to let me know. Only got so many 100 miles to be there. So, you know, this is a good reminder. So there was once a little girl named Gina. She was very innocent and creative. She would oftentimes have deep sleeps and then wake up in the morning and tell her parents about them. But then she started to grow and she started to draw them and then paint them. And then she would think about them all the time. Some time went on and she had a dream about a lighthouse that kept blinking on and off. And she woke up and drew the lighthouse with the lights on. And another time she had a deep sleep and she dreamed about a flashlight that was turning on and turning off, but by the end of the dream it was out. And so that morning her painting was very dark because it was a picture of a flashlight that was out. And at the same time her attitude started to change and she began to be very passive and isolated. And at school she would always be drawing light bulbs on top of people's heads. And some of them were very vivid and bright, and some of them were very dim. So one day she dropped one of her drawings in front of one of the weirdest students in the school. He discovered her drawing very interesting and began to ask questions about them. Then she asked him, "Why do you want to know about my dreams and light so bad?" Then he replied with a scripture that said, "The Lord's light penetrates the human spirit, exposing every hidden motive." Proverbs 20, verse 27. Then she realized why she considered him to be so weird. And then she asked him the question, who turned out the lights? Who turned out the lights? So that's today's lesson. It's called, Who Turned Out the Lights? So she knew she wasn't crazy. She had a gift of seeing who had light on them and who didn't. So, you know, it was no coincidence that she dropped this paper in front of him. Because he was able to explain why she was having these dreams and why she was seeing what she was seeing. So, like anyone else who doesn't understand things and things about light is a very part of our world. God didn't create this world without the light already here. We have firmament, we have, we have the stars, we have the moon, and then we wake up, we have the beautiful light. And in the nighttime, we still have the moon. So we're never really in complete darkness unless you're in the woods and you can't see the moon. All right, so most of the time we're in the light. And, there's some people in this world and some people in my house that are kind of afraid of the dark. Like me, I'm not afraid of dark. You put me in dark, I'm trying to find someone to scare them. But that's not very nice. All right. But this lesson is called, I know it's not nice. I know. I get a light on my door, but the dark, I'm about to scare somebody. I know. But I have many, many points I want to make about light. The first one I'm going to get to is about the 10 versions. This lesson is all about preparation and keeping your lamps burning, and keeping that light on. How many Christians do you know that were full of light in the body, and then when they left, you don't even know what's going on in their lives now. You don't even know what's going on with them. You know, there's a lot of people I know that were in the body. A lot of people that I tried to help and mentor, they left. A lot of people that I looked up to in the body. You know, I can see the light in them. I can see the seriousness. I can see their sincerity. And left. You know, so at any moment in time, something can happen, a situation. Some of you married, some on the job. Anything can happen that can get that light out. But has God given up on them? No. God has not. Alright? The Bible said there's no temptation unto man that is uncommon, meaning everyone's going to go through the same thing. And God will always make sure a way for you to bear it. But we put some things on ourselves that's too much to bear. God won't do it to us, but we'll do it. We'll do it to ourselves. God will always make a way for us to escape. But I'm going to read this parable here about these 10 virgins. If you never knew what it was about, some of them think it's about the medieval times with the great tribulation, that the persecution that the disciples were going to go through during this time. And then some people want to say that it's about eschatology and the end of time when Jesus comes back. Whether it's one or the other, it's very important for us to understand. All right. But then he says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened. We're at Matthew 25. We start at verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 of them were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye out to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. So, this lesson, this parable is serious. We must all bring our own oil. Everyone has to have their own. Can't borrow mine. I ain't got none to spare. I know that sounds selfish, but in a day of judgment, it's only going to be you and God. It's appointed that the man wants to die. After that, the judgment. God loves us. Never here do you say, that does he say, I love you not. Never here. There's never a scripture in the Bible that you ever hear God say, I love you not. It's not in there. God loves all his creation. But guess what? There is many times in the Bible that says, I know you not. Okay, I love you not and I know you not. Not the same thing. Alright, he says, I don't know you. Because if I knew you, you'd be ready. That's what Jesus is saying. We must keep our lamps burning all the time. Alright? All the time. Because if not, we won't be ready to teach. We won't be ready to share God's word. And you won't be ready for when Jesus comes back. This is a very, very serious thing. Just like Jesus said, I'm going to come at time you least expect it. The reason why he's saying that is because Jesus don't know when he's coming back. Jesus himself don't know when. Only the Father knows. There's a lot of things Jesus told, that God told his son. He didn't tell him everything. He told him what he needed to know at the time. All right. Only thing you need to know is, I'm going to come back at the time you least expect it. Now, do you need to know when I'm coming back? No, because I told you enough. All right? We want to know too much. That's going to hinder us from, moving forward. I call them salt questions. When people ask me things that they don't need to know, call them salt questions. Does anyone know where I get the word salt questions from? I tell you where. When the angels went to Sodom and Gomorrah, when they were leaving, all right, the angel told them, do not look back. If you do, you will turn into a pillar of salt. So when you look back with a salt question, guess what happens? It's no good for you. You turn into a pillar of salt. So don't answer questions that will get people to walk back or look back. Only those questions that's going to get people to move forward. All right? We always have to be ready and stay ready for anyone who asks us any questions. All right? Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 15. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 15. And this is a very important word that Peter says here. Very, very important word. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. He says here, but sanctify the Lord in your heart. That word sanctify means separate yourself. It means separate yourself. It means make yourself ready for God. All right? Separate yourself from everything else. Sanctify yourself for God. All right? In your heart. Okay, let God have a special reign and special place in your heart, all right? And it says, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Last week we talked about the difference between hope and faith, all right? When he's saying here that reason of hope, meaning that reason of why do you believe that you're going to heaven? Why do you believe what you believe? He's not saying be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks you any kind of question. Don't do that. Does every single question need to have an answer? No. Not every question has to have an answer. Some people ask questions that are complete nonsense and looking for something else. They're not asking what people ask sometimes is not really what they're looking for. Sometimes they're looking for something else. Don't give them the foothold of that. You got to be able to perceive that. But he's saying, asking you a reason of hope that is in you with meekness and fear. All right? With reverence to God. All right? With reverence. Because we don't want that light going out. All right? God wants that light to so shine. And Jesus makes sense of this. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to read verses 14. Through 16. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. I'm letting you guys know a lot of these are going to be in Matthew. For some reason, Matthew talks a lot about light and salt. Matthew makes you hungry. Alright. Matthew chapter 5. We're going to read verses 14 through 16. I love these verses here. About the type of attitude that Jesus wants us to have. All right, Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Now, look at what he says. It says, you are the light of the world. The city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. But what if the light that is not on top of the city? Can it be hid then? Can it be hidden then? Okay, yes, it could. Alright? So what he's saying is, he's not saying that he wants you to have all authority and all that stuff. But he wants you to have some kind of responsibility and role when you walk into a room. Alright? There's a difference between a thermostat and a thermometer. I think I explained this before. Alright? Only thing a thermostat does is... thermometer, only thing a thermometer does is it reads the temperature that's in a room. If I bring a thermometer in here, it's going to say maybe 60 or 50 something, I don't know, or 70 something, all right? But if I bring a thermostat in here, what can I do with it? If I had that thermostat, what can I change? Oh, I can change the temperature in the room. I can make it real hot or real cold, bring it down to 50 degrees, or I can bring it up to 90. So I control the climate when I walk into a room. I control that. But don't you know it's the same way with personalities and people? Have you ever walked into a room that's filled with there's such a bad aura about it. Such a bad aura about it. You walk into it, it's like, I don't think I want to be in here. There's something up with in here. Alright? That's that spirit in you that's telling you, alright, you need to take heed and watch yourself. And the sad thing is, there were some classrooms in the church that I would go to and feel that same vibe before I started teaching. I would feel that sometimes. It's not good. Don't think that everyone you're around that's in the body have their life in order. They have their light shining and burning to help people. What that light is really about is expressing your true nature of how you feel and how you are about God. That's what that really is. And there's no better expression of free will than us living in the world. The world is a true expression of free will because people can do whatever they want to do. And then they want to ask God, if God's so good, why does he allow this and why does he allow that? That's where those questions come into play. All right, but he says that you are the light of the world. The city that sets on the hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick and give it light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Okay? God wants us to do this regardless. Now, the world despises any good works we try to do. The world despises it. Look at what we see on the news. A lot of what we see on the news is bad news. But we still continue to watch it because there's some things on the news that we need to hear. But a lot of it, it's so convoluted with negative stuff, and people take that attitude with them out into the world. All right, people that's in the church that will have an argument with you about politics. This should not be so. This should not be so. If you're arguing about sports or whatever, that's different. Okay, I mean it happens. But people get real deep when it comes to politics. People get real deep. So please don't let that be. All right, don't let that be. God wants us to, he wants us to shine in front of men, all right? That means that in front of the world, places you go, all right? Whether people see it as convenient or not, he's not saying living this way is going to be convenient. It's going to be very, very tough because the world glorifies lies, lewdness, nudity, pornography, pollution, all these things. The world glorifies all this stuff, all right? And anyone who tries to do the right thing, it's going to be looked down upon, all right? If you don't condone this type of sexuality or this type of thing, you're going to look down upon because it shows that you don't support it, all right? It shows you don't support it. And a lot of this stuff is coming out into the media. A lot of movies that I never think I would see. I didn't see these movies. But I wouldn't think they'd be at the movies. They're in the movies now, all right? It's a lot of stuff that's going on that this world is very, very dark. It's because the prince of this world, Satan, is very dark. You know, people think men rule the world. No. Men are influenced by Satan. Okay? Jesus said himself that Satan is the prince of this world. Alright? Now, God owns it. But guess who rules it? He rules it. Alright? He rules it. So the influence that he has over men, or what people give into, alright, that's what it's going to be. It's going to be full of darkness, okay? And let's move over to the next chapter. Matthew chapter 6. We're going to read verse 22 and 23. You know what? The one in Luke is a lot. That's, no, I'm not going to read that one. The one in Luke is actually better. One Luke, I have both here, but I'm going to read one of Luke. Luke 11. I like the way Luke said it. Luke 11, we're going to read verses 34 through 36. All right. Well, watch this. All right. I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation. Now, watch what it says. Here. Watch what it says here. This caught my attention right here. Alright. Alright, verse 34. Alright. It says, verse 34. Your eye is a lamp that provides light for your body. Alright? Now, he's talking about, somebody's talking about covetousness. He's talking about your personality, and he's also talking about your attitude. It says, when your eye is good, your whole body is filled with light. But when it is bad, your body is filled with darkness. Now, like, take a look at verse 35. Make sure that the light that you think you have is not actually darkness. It's not actually darkness. If you are filled with light, with no dark corners, then your whole life will be radiant as though a floodlight were filling you with light. With no dark corners. No dark corners. Alright? That means that it's almost like people are not afraid of the dark. They're afraid of light. They're afraid of light. People in the world are not afraid of the dark. They're afraid of the light. The exact opposite. Because when light shines on them, they're exposed for who they really are. Now, do we need to be exposed? Absolutely. Okay? Absolutely. Because if we were not exposed, how would any of us be saved? Who did Jesus come here to save? Did he come here to save saints? Or did he come to save sinners? So only sinners are saved. Is that true or not true? So only sinners are saved.
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah, because we're all sinners.
All sinners. So only sinners are saved. Because we're all have fallen short. I know the way I said that, and it sounded like,
your question.
Am I still a sinner? Yeah. At one point, all right, but yeah, it says, the light you think you have, that's when we shouldn't think so much of ourselves. We shouldn't think so much of ourselves. Sometimes people of the world will expose you for who we should be. You'd be very, very surprised how I know some people in the world that are not discerned biblically, but still have such a high sense of right and wrong. They can tell you, no, you were wrong about that. Even though you may be a Christian, people still know that people still have a conscience, know the difference between right and wrong. Now, why some of these people don't believe in God and want to come to worship service is beyond me. But there's a lot of people who are morally. They have their morals in the right place. But when it comes to spiritual things, when it comes to the God of heaven and their pride, they won't give up. They won't give up. That's the thing, they won't give up. All right, and that's very, very sad, because I know a whole lot of people that are morally and consciously there and aware, but they just won't give themselves to God. It's very, very sad. Okay, it's very, very sad, okay? Our conversations, things we say to people, have to be seasoned with salt and with light, all right? So let's go to Colossians chapter 4. We're going to read verses 4 through 6. Colossians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. I hope y'all don't mind us going through the Bible. I know there's a lot of scriptures here, but if you didn't realize or notice this, the light is everywhere. It is everywhere. All right. Colossians 4, verses 5 and 6. There are certain animals. If you didn't know this, that hunt the best at night. Cats. All right. Snakes. They hunt the best at nighttime. Do you know why? Their vision is actually better in the darkness. How? I don't know. Only God knows. But they take advantage of the not blindness, but the dim lights that some of these others had at nighttime. Because in the nighttime, you can see them coming. And you can kind of, in the daytime, you can see them coming and get away. But at night, if a snake was coming after you at nighttime, could you see them? Absolutely not. But if they're in the dark, in the daytime, you could see them and get away. But in the dark time, you can't do it. That's why they do it. A lot of felines, like almost all the cat family, they hunt their best at night. And they don't hunt alone. They hunt in packs. They hunt in packs. This is why Jesus says a whole lot about, I come as a thief in the night. He's going to come at a time you don't expect it because he wants us to stay ready. That's why he does it. All right, and Paul has given us exhortation and keeping us in the right area. Verses 5 and 6, it says, "Walk in wisdom toward those who are without, redeeming the time." Means those who are in the world. We need to walk or live faithful, and we need to live righteous around them to show a good example. It says, "Let your speech be always be with grace, seasoned with salt." So that that way you may know how to answer every man. That means that God wants us to always be looking for the opportunity, or always ready for the opportunity to tell them things about God. This is very, very important. Okay, this is very, very important. You never know where a conversation is going to spark. You never know where it's going to come from. And a lot of times you don't have to say anything. You don't have to say anything. A lot of times you'll just be appearing. All right, and this is what we need to look out for. These are the things that God's looking out for. All right, and us as stewards, we don't own the light. All right, we don't own it. We are stewards of it. We are stewards of it. All the gifts that God's given us, we are stewards of it because He's gave them to us. They are gifts. And some people are maybe good at praying. All right, there may be some people good at speaking. There may be some people writing good cards. Some people may be really good at calling people. Now me, I'm not good at a lot of those things. I'm good at teaching. I'm good at speaking. But when it comes to cards and prayer, there's some people I know in the church who are so good at prayer. They left the church. When they're so good at praying, that's what wanders me. That's one thing that wanders me, that one day you see them, the next day they could be gone. Okay, so we must always, always be praying for those that are without. All right? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 2. All right. I got to get that myself. Oh, my goodness. First Corinthians chapter 4, all right, and verse number 2, okay, it says, I'm going to start at verse 1, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required and stewards may be found faithful, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or any man's judgment. Yea, I judge not of my own self, for I know nothing by myself, yet I am hereby justified, but he that judgeth of me is the Lord." Okay? So that's why I'm saying that it's not our light. It is God's light. We are His workmanship. The work we're doing is for Him. It's not for us. But the world needs to see our light because the world is so full of darkness. The world is so full of darkness. All right, if you ever driving at night, if I'm driving to Pahrump, if it's real dark outside, it's not as easy. If you ever driven to Vegas from Pahrump at night, it's not easy. It's hard. Okay, it's hard. But when you see all those lights, how do you feel in Vegas? You're like, wow. All right, that's how it is all the time. Spiritually, that's the way it is all the time. All right? You see a light here and there. But most time when you're driving, you don't see a light for a while. Now, how many people do you think are still, that you knew, let's say 10 years ago, if you were in the church 10 years ago, how many of them, those people that you know are still in the church? And then how many of them have left? I can only say like 10 years from now, because I got baptized in 2008. So 10 years, okay? 10 years I've been in the body. Since I've been in the body, there's been a lot of people that left. A lot of people left. Some of them have passed on, but a lot of them left the body. And they're the ones who are telling me that you are a light of the world, teaching these lessons. That's what's so sad about it. Okay? That's what's so sad about it. But God knows those that are His. Alright? So, let's go to John chapter 3. This is where I might have to conclude here. John chapter 3. We're going to start at verse 16, of course. But watch what Jesus says later. Watch what Jesus says later. All right. Verse 16, it says, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. God sent His Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through Him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in Him, but anyone who does not believe in Him is already judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And the judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world, but people love darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it, for fear their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light, so others can see that they are doing what God wants." This is why I was saying earlier, people are afraid of the light because they're afraid to be exposed. People do not like to be reminded of who they really are. People don't like being reminded of it. All right? They don't like to be reminded. They want to say who they are. They want it to be very, very convenient. That's why you have these things that say, how do I say it? I believe in Jesus, not church. You'll see sayings like that. All right, I believe in Jesus, not religion. So they want one without the other. Well, I'm sorry. You can't have the Father without the Son. And you can't have the Son without believing God's Word. So it's a package deal. You can't just take parts and believe what you want. I'm sorry. That's not the way it is. All right? That's not the way it is. So we want, or we should to want, to be exposed. Because if I have a sore, or if there's an ailment on my body, if I'm covering it up, how am I ever going to get it healed? How is it ever going to happen? All of us have some wound that we are bearing. And the only way for us to get help is to have someone have it exposed. Because it may be someone that's in the area that can help us. We don't need to cover up stuff. James said we need to confess our faults to one another, praying for one another. The fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. A lot of reason why there is so much darkness in the world is because, I'm not saying we're not praying enough, we just need to keep praying. We just need to keep praying for our nation, we keep praying for this congregation, and we keep praying for our families. A prayer is lacking a lot. My mom sent me a text a couple of weeks ago and says, why do you think schools took prayer out of schools. I said, that's not what happened. People just stopped praying. They can't take prayer out of school because the Bible says pray without ceasing. How is that possible? People just stopped praying because of what the law says. All right? The Bible says, teach them to observe all things that I have taught you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. That means that it doesn't matter what the world says, we need to continue doing it. And only those who keeping their light exposed not only going to expose themselves what they're doing is right, but also expose others, not to judge them, but to remind them they need to come into the light. God is seeking those who are willing and have the heart to come to the light so he can save them. Until you are baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, you are still in the darkness. It doesn't matter how holy we think we are. There are things we have to do. And how does someone come out of there? This is what you have to do. First thing you must do is hear the word of God. You heard that this morning. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then everyone must believe what they hear. They must believe it. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently. That means that they search and they really look with a sincere heart to believe in him. And then we must repent. We must repent. That's what I mean by only sinners are saved. We have to admit, and we have to be willing to be exposed so we can get it right. For everyone have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's only one person that walked on this earth without sin. And that's the same one who died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. We must repent, for God is not slacking his promise, as though man counts slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not that any should perish, but all to come to repentance. He wants everyone to be saved. And then we must confess with our mouth that Jesus is the Son of God. If we confess with our mouth that Jesus is the Son of God, he will confess us before his Father is in heaven. But if we deny him before God, he will also deny us in front of his Father, which is in heaven. We can deny him by not shining the light where it needs to be, by not being that example that we need to be, by not being there when we need to be there. That is denying Christ. It's not just by what you say, it's by what you do. Because Jesus said it's not what goes in that defiles, but it's what comes out. It's what comes out. It's what we do. Our actions is what defiles us. Then we all must be baptized in the watery grave of baptism. All right. They asked Peter and the other apostles, "What shall we do?" And then Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, all right, for the remission of your sins, and God will give you the gift of the Holy Ghost." Without baptism, there is no remission. Like I said before, sin is like a cancer to God. And the only way it can be remitted is by being baptized. Without baptism means you still have the cancer. That's what that means. You still have it. The only way you can get rid of it is by putting on Christ. And what Christ said for us to do is not burdensome. He said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is not hard. This is not rocket science. It is easy. But, okay, discipleship is free. Discipleship is free. But the life you give, you can't buy it. The life you give to God, you can't buy it. He bought you with a price. He bought you with a price. And he wants us to live it out with service and with love for others. And we cannot do that unless they see a light shining, so they'll know where to find the light in the darkness. Is anyone here that want to put Christ on the baptism? Can do that right now as we stand and sing the Savior's Invitation song.